Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, how are you doing? I got my secular talk shirt on today. Second generation. It's pretty badass that I get to say that there are multiple generations of it. Second generation. So still the classic secular talk colors. That green that makes your eyes fall out, which I love. And the black. God, I fucking love this shirt. Okay, anyway, so a lot of stuff to get to today. Give you an update on the YouTube situation, how they cracked down on controversial creators, including yours truly. So we'll dig into some more details of that. I tried to get this yesterday, but I put it off too long. Trump gave an immigration speech two nights ago. Good googly moogly. It was bad. There was no pivot. He was like, fuck off, deport everybody, blow me. So we'll discuss that. And, Jesus, I mean, so Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, both of them, I've now concluded this is the worst presidential race ever, because wait until I tell you what they're both up to. Like, fundraising, hiring people that are the most unscrupulous bastards on the planet. Just forget it. Forget it. It's horrendous. So we'll discuss that. And later on in the show today, I got some crazy ISIS stuff. I got an Oklahoma woman who decided to go nuts and kill her daughter because she thought she was demon-possessed. And Pamela Anderson and Rabbi Shmuley, who's a real person, wrote an op-ed against pornography. So I'm going to get my mocking hat on ready for later. We'll discuss that and much more. All right, let's get started here, and we'll do that again with the news on YouTube. I have an update for everybody on the story that we did yesterday about YouTube and them cracking down on controversial creators. So they released some new guidelines that showed which videos are and aren't advertiser-friendly, and we broke it down and basically showed you that there's an argument that every single secular talk video does not meet the guidelines, because they basically say, if you cover any controversial topic, we can give you zero advertising. If you cover any political conflicts, if you cover war, if you curse, like, these are all things that they say, we reserve the right to just say, you're done. Zero funding, and that could be the end of what you do. So we broke that down. We broke that down in detail yesterday. Now, again, for those of you who don't know, the system that YouTube has, generally speaking, is actually brilliant in the sense that there's a giant buffer. So YouTube and Google are the ones who do all the advertising stuff, and they deal with the companies and the corporations. And this way, creators like myself literally never have to speak to any advertisers, any corporations ever, and I'm not pulled in a million different directions, and I don't feel obligated to anybody. So that's why, for example, sometimes, as I brought up yesterday, you'll see like an advertisement for Scientology or something, or Mormonism before a segment that I do on religion or atheism. Or you'll see, a campaign for a campaign ad for a candidate I don't agree with before a segment about politics. It's not that I'm carrying water for said person. It's that, again, the giant buffer makes it possible. So overall, a good system. But then with these new guidelines, I was concerned about it. Philip DeFranco, another YouTuber, was concerned about it. There were just countless YouTube creators who were like, oh, well, this is terrible, and I might be done now. And I think hashtag YouTube party is over was the number one trending topic yesterday. So YouTube was like, oh, shit. Oh, what have we done? What have we done? Now, YouTube has a record of, like, they'll just do shit, and then you'll see what they did, but they don't announce anything. They don't give you reasoning. They don't give you an argument. They don't give you anything. They're just like, oh, here's what we did. Everyone shut the fuck up. So they did that, and they're like, oh, I've been la-di-da, this will be good. Nobody will care. And then all of us realize, all the creators, we look on our channels, we're like, oh no. Oh, no, what's happening? And we see all of our videos being demonetized. So I told you guys, I went through maybe 30 pages, with each page having 15 or 20 videos in my archive, and like 20% of them were demonetized. I'm like, oh no, this is YouTube apocalypse. What's fucking happening? So now YouTube has released a statement over this, and what did they say? Well, their response is, no, you idiots, this was the case all along. So those videos already were not monetized, and now we just set up a system, tell you which videos aren't monetized, and you can appeal it. So you can click something, and then it goes and gets reviewed, and then they let you know whether or not, you know, you actually can get monetization on that video. Now, is that true? Honestly, I don't know, because I can tell you, this is just me speaking here, I don't know of anybody else's channel or situation, but I can tell you that coinciding with all the demonetization that showed up on my channel, I did get a hit in revenue. So it's certainly possible that that's simply the ebb and flow of the way revenue works on YouTube anyway. Like, that's liable to happen no matter what, and it has happened sometimes, in the middle of a month or at the beginning of a month or whenever. You know, you look one day, it's however much money more, and then the next day, okay, now it's less. So that certainly is possible, but I'm just saying the timing coincided, where it's like, okay, now you have the demonetization stuff. Okay, now there's a hit in revenue. So but that's what they're arguing. Is it true? Maybe it's true, okay? But either way, is there still an issue that YouTube has here that they have to deal with? Yes. Now, why do I say that? As somebody who focuses specifically on news and politics, and yes, controversial topics, I can tell you for sure this is deeply flawed. Now, there were videos I did where, for example, one of them was about a town that was liberated from ISIS, and there's a short video of people celebrating being liberated from ISIS, and my commentary there as well. Can you guess what the commentary was? The commentary was, this is fantastic. It's great that these people are liberated. Isn't it wonderful that ISIS is, you know, falling back, and they were beat back in this sense, and okay, here are the strategies that worked, here's what we shouldn't do, here's what we should do. So obviously it was glowing commentary about a happy situation about, you know, a town being liberated from ISIS. Well, under these guidelines, just the fact that I am discussing ISIS by definition means no monetization. Now, that's just one example. ISIS, okay, so anything you say ever about ISIS, God forbid you do a segment about ISIS ever, no matter what you're saying, you'd be the most anti-ISIS person ever. Obviously, we are. They're like, nope, you said ISIS. That's it. So it's done. Now think about the lack of logic there. Because what you're saying is, if you discuss it in any way, you're done. So theoretically, a video that I do about ISIS, not theoretically, pragmatically, realistically, a segment I do about ISIS is more anti-ISIS than a segment that doesn't even talk about ISIS. So taking a stance against it is penalized. By the same token, if you discuss rape, like, guys, again, I'm a news and political commentary show. If I discuss rape, you know, hey, here are the facts about this rape that happened. Isn't it horrific? Isn't this terrible? The authority should act. Nope. No monetization. You discussed rape. You had rape in the title or rape in the tags. So, you know, you're done. There was another segment we did about a guy in Pakistan who married a six-year-old and then said, no, it's cool because it's my religion, so everybody piss off. Well, we did a segment on that, and what did I say? I don't care if it's your religion. You can't marry a six-year-old, asshole. And it's a segment that is providing potent arguments against child marriage. No monetization. Again, why? Because you're discussing a controversial topic. And even in the context of doing that, if you're providing potent, concise, intelligent arguments against a horrible thing that usually people don't talk about, but now I'm giving you a litany of reasons why this is indeed immoral. Just the fact that you're talking about it, you know, you're in trouble. So another thing I've noticed, if you mention ISIS, if you mention rape, if you mention drugs, if you mention war, if war is in the title, drugs are in the title, forget it, man. Forget it. So think about that. So that is biased, like, specifically against shows like mine. Now, I get it. You know, you have advertisers who are saying, well, I don't want my name associated with a segment on drugs or rape or ISIS or this or that. But there's a default assumption there that is just factually incorrect. And that default assumption is if anybody is covering said topics, it is by definition something that I don't want to be associated with. When in reality, again, when I'm talking about ISIS, anti-ISIS. So if you say, I don't want to put my name on something that is anti-ISIS, what's the actual implication of that? What are you, pro-ISIS? What are you, pro-child marriage? You don't want to sign up to be alongside a video that argues against child marriage? Why wouldn't you want to do that? Well, just the fact that you're discussing it. Oh, come on, man. Oh, come on. What's going on? Or do we live in, is this all fucking Leave It to Beaver? Is that what's going on here? Everything on YouTube is supposed to be Leave It to Beaver? And then, you know, you think back and you realize, I got stories on ISIS coming later in this show. I got things on foreign policy and the Israeli occupation coming later on in this show. But, you know, now I know when I do those, I'm doing those, and YouTube's like, those, you know, demonetized, nothing happening. And so it does set up a situation where it's not going to affect me because I'm going to cover these things no matter what. But now you think other up-and-coming YouTubers, they're going to walk on eggshells when it comes to controversial topics because they want to get fucking paid. So you've set up a system where it is de facto censoring controversial issues, and these controversial issues are the ones that we should be talking about the most. So it is a problem. It is still ridiculous. I obviously hope it is true that they've been doing it all along, because then for revenue reasons that's better. But that does also mean your argument kind of has been, no, it's cool. We've been censoring you from the beginning. No, you got to change your algorithm. You got to change the way you approach these things because it's not logical. You know, you've almost singled out news and politics, just by their very nature. So even when they cover topics that are controversial and they cover it in a way where the overwhelming majority of people go, yes, that is a moral way to cover it. Those are good arguments. You go, I don't care. I don't want you discussing that no matter what. So there's going to be a punishment attached to that. Hopefully YouTube works on that and they fix that. But it doesn't appear like they're going to do it. It looks like they think this is the final word. The final word of, calm down. We've been doing it all along. We now just let you know that we've been doing it all along. And for the record, so I knew that obviously some videos get less monetization and fewer ads than other videos. And I could have guessed that, okay, well, if it's a more controversial topic, you probably do get less ads, and you probably do make less revenue off those videos. But now I know, because of what they're giving us now, what YouTube is showing us now, that it's not even the case that it's less. It's the case that it's none. If you discuss ISIS, war, rape, you know, any of these controversial topics, it's just done. So there's got to be a way to level with, reason with the advertisers, or a way to change the algorithm to let everybody know, just because you're discussing ISIS does not mean you are by definition pro-ISIS. So stop with this being taboo, treating taboo subjects like it's just totally off the table and that's the end of the conversation. That's not the end of the conversation. We should encourage these uncensored, unfiltered, intelligent conversations around these issues. Okay. All right, let's go to Donald Trump's immigration speech. All of you have been waiting for... Trump gave a big speech on immigration two nights ago. Here are some of the highlights of his plan.
We will build a great wall. southern border. And Mexico will pay for the wall. They don't know it yet, but they're going to pay for the war.
Oh, okay.
We will use the best technology, including above and below ground sensors, that's the tunnels. Remember that, above and below. Above and below ground sensors. We are going to end catch and release. We catch them, oh, go ahead. We catch them, go ahead. Number three, this is the one I think is so great. It's hard to believe people don't even talk about it. Zero tolerance for criminal aliens. Zero. All immigration laws will be enforced. As with any law enforcement activity, we will set priorities. But unlike this administration, no one will be immune or exempt from enforcement. And ICE and Border Patrol officers will be allowed to do their jobs the way their jobs are supposed to be done. The United States illegally is subject to deportation. That is what it means to have laws and to have a country. Otherwise, we don't have a country. Our enforcement priorities will include removing criminals, gang members, security threats, visa overstays, public charges. That is, those relying on public welfare or straining the safety net, along with millions of recent illegal arrivals and overseas who've come here under this current corrupt administration.
Yep, that is exactly what he's been saying all along. That's deporting everybody. He goes through a list. Like, all right, here's what's going to happen, guys. I really changed my position on this from before when I said deport all of them. All right, we need to deport the ones who are criminal, the ones who have overstayed their visas, the ones who've done this, the ones who've done that. He goes through the list. By the end, that's all of them. That's everybody. And by the way, also, this gets under my skin more than anything. For the idiots on the far right, stop saying they're exploiting the welfare system. That's what's happening. Undocumented immigrants can't even get welfare, you dipshits. That shows you how much you know about this topic that you care so deeply about. Like, in their mind, you have people crossing the border, and then all of a sudden, the federal government's like, can I get you a flat-screen TV, huh? How about a nice 2,000-square-foot home? Here's some public money. We just stole it from some middle-class white folks down the street. That's not what happens. That is not what happens. For fuck's sake, they do not get welfare, you morons. Stop saying it. Okay. Furthermore, they actually net contribute, undocumented immigrants net contribute billions of dollars to the economy. So the stereotype of they're lazy moocher parasites, wrong. Actually, the overwhelming majority of them are not committing crimes and are being very productive, and they have jobs. Okay. So he keeps saying,
well, the criminal aliens, this is what we're going to do. Anybody who's come here illegally is subject to deportation.
Okay, well, that's what you're saying all along. That's 11 million undocumented immigrants. I'm going to deport you. I mean, think about that, man. Logistically, that's impossible. Imagine the picture of that. So you have, what, people like SWAT teams going into all these different fucking houses and dragging people out, women and children. They're in their fucking pajamas. You throw them in a truck and put them in a plane or you drop them across the border or some shit. Really? That's what's going to happen. This is going to be the United States of America. And for the record, Alabama did something similar to that. They made the conditions so bad that all the undocumented immigrants left in a certain place in Alabama. And then soon after, they're like, oh, what have we done? We need them back. Bring them back.
Why? Because they realized they're actually central to the economy functioning.
So they were waiting. They're like, okay, where's everybody else who's going to come and do the jobs that they were doing?
Oh, they're not coming. Oh, fuck, this is bad.
Oh, no, we need them back.
So, dude, it's the fact that he went to Mexico earlier that same day, and then he comes and gives this speech. It's like he really doesn't know what he's doing. He's just been stumbling around this entire time. Sometimes he happens to stumble on the right strategy, but oftentimes he just makes an ass of himself. So he goes to Mexico, and people portray this as, oh, yeah, he's becoming better. He's pivoting now. He's pivoting. He's becoming more reasonable and more moderate. And then he comes back at night and gives this speech and says all the same shit and doubles down, quadruples down on his position all along. And then when he says,
well, there's going to be zero tolerance for criminals who are illegal immigrants,
that's already the case, you moron. So, you know, Obama has broken a record for deportations. Think about that. That's something that many progressives are angry at him for, and understandably so. He's broken a record for deportations. And Trump is portraying him like, you know, this guy who's, all right, everybody, open border. You come in, you do whatever you want, you commit a crime, it's all good. In Obama's executive action on undocumented immigrants, one of the main provisions was, you commit a crime, you're out. Now, everybody else will work with you, but if you commit a crime, you're gone. So here you have a guy who's broken a record on deportations, already agrees that if it's a criminal, okay, you're gone. But the difference is he's reasonable enough to say, well, if you're here and you've been here and you're working hard and, you know, you have a family here, well, then, yeah, what are we, crazy? We're just going to kick you out and send a giant chunk of the economy away with it as if there's no consequences. No, there are consequences. And then finally he says, we're going to build the wall. Mexico is going to pay for it. Idiot, earlier that same day, the president of Mexico told him, oh, we're not paying for your damn wall. But then he says, Mexico will pay. Believe me. They don't even know it yet, but they will pay. Believe me. See, he's got to throw in that they don't even know it yet because he knows that that's going to be in the media, that the Mexican president was like, dude, we're not paying for your goddamn wall.
So we're going to make them pay anyway.
How? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know what it would come down to, right? You want to invade Mexico to make them pay for the wall? Is that what you want to do? You want to force them at the barrel of a gun to build your shitty fucking wall? Is that what you want to do? I mean, I guess that's what it is because they're not going to do it. They're not going to fucking do it. So you want to start a war with Mexico over that? No, but this makes less than no sense. So, you know, if you were waiting for some sort of pivot, if you were waiting for him to get reasonable, if you were waiting for him to move away from bigotry and xenophobia, it ain't happening, man. It ain't happening. This is one issue where he's going to stay exactly like he is. Some people think this helps him. You know, Ann Coulter creamed herself watching this speech. David Duke was masturbating. They literally praised it on Twitter. But if those are the people praising you, and everybody else is like, oh, that doesn't bode well for your election chances. Okay. Next. Now we get to the issue of money in politics. This is a big one. So yesterday, Huffington Post had a couple hilarious articles back-to-back on their website, and I think it says everything about how disconnected from reality the establishment media has become. So take a look at this. Try not to laugh. These are two separate articles. It says, Clinton raised a record $143 million in August. Sweet Jesus, $143 million in August. That's 1 month. Okay. Then right after that it says, campaign ponders how to rehabilitate her character during debates. You know, here's a thought. Maybe the first article highlights the problem. Like, how dense have people become, man? I swear to God, sometimes somebody who has never thought about politics, never studied politics, never, you know, been involved with it in any way, sometimes you go and talk to that person, and they will have much more common sense than somebody
who's in the establishment media, and they follow this on a day-in, day-out basis. Because they're so used to the corruption that they just write it off as a non-issue. Now, just because you've written it off that way doesn't mean it's not a real issue and doesn't mean it's not the biggest issue the country faces. Guys, the problem is that. That's the problem. The problem is that she raised $143 million. How do you think she raised that money? That's in 1 month. How do you think she raised it? She didn't raise it by going door to door and having grandmothers on Social Security in Wyoming help her out because they like her. That's not genuine, organic funding because, oh my goodness, I support Hillary Clinton so much on the issue of, you know, Planned Parenthood and abortion that here's a few, couple hundred thousand dollars. No, this all has to do with her being buddy-buddy with Wall Street, being buddy-buddy with multinational corporations, being buddy-buddy with wealthy donors, and they know, I'm going to give you money, you're going to do me favors. I'm going to give you money, you're going to do me favors. Did you know, this article was amazing, we covered it a while back, but there are people on Wall Street who literally said to Hillary Clinton, you have a free pass to say whatever you want, because at the end of the day, we know that you're with us. I need you to think about that, because even with President Obama, who has in many ways actually helped people on Wall Street and has been way too establishment, Obama has. But when he started doing populist rhetoric, people on Wall Street would go, whoa, 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 what are you doing here? What are you doing here, Barry? Not sure we trust you. What's going on? Help me out here. You sound a little too strong. Stop, stop. With Obama, they were scared. Like, okay, no, he might crack down on us. Please don't hurt us. With Hillary Clinton, they're like, they're so assured. You could say whatever you want because we know who your real friends are. It's us. It's us. The Clinton family has raised over $3 billion in their careers between their respective campaigns, the super PACs, the money that goes directly into their pockets, the Clinton Foundation, you know, this idea that, oh, she's incorruptible. I don't know what you mean. She flipped her votes, and we have the evidence. Elizabeth Warren spoke about this back in the day. There was a bill that biased bankruptcy laws in favor of corporations. Hillary was against it before she was an elected official. After she became the senator from New York, she flipped. Now I'm in favor of the bankruptcy laws that bias it in favor of the corporations. Okay, well, why'd you do that? Because you took money from said corporations. That's why. She was in favor of single payer. All of a sudden, well, what happened? I don't know about single payer, guys. I'll do some kind of reform, but I think we got to keep the health industry intact as is, the insurance companies and everybody else. Why? Because she took money from those companies. So, and then again, it's amazing. Hillary raises $143 million in August. Let me tell you, in the real world, what that headline means. Hillary sold out better than anybody ever in this month. She sold out so much that she sold out worth $143 million. She sold out tremendously. That should be the real headline. And then they follow that up with, you know, the campaign isn't sure they're pondering how to rehabilitate her character. If you didn't take the $143 million, if you weren't a product of the establishment, then people would trust you more. But you are that. And by the way, the article is also insufferable because when you go into the details of it, not just the headline, like her and her campaign people are like, okay, what are we going to do? Well, we'll spend the first debate attacking Trump, which, by the way, I actually think politically speaking is a good strategy because, man, is there a lot to attack there. So they say, we'll do that in the first debate. But in the second debate, we have to try to reestablish her own character as super trustworthy. And then they keep going on and on about we need a strategy for her to come across as authentic. If she actually was authentic, you wouldn't need a strategy. But you know that you have to come up with a strategy because what's her authentic self? The person who raised $143 million in one goddamn month because she sold out so well to all the powerful interests. That's who she really is. You can't show who she really is because people go, I will take literally anything but that. I would rather have the lunatic Donald Trump and feel like he's not bought than have somebody who's so bought but pretending they're not. This is the problem. The problem is the entire system. The problem is money in politics. It's legalized bribery. People wonder, hey, how is it that we can elect people in Congress and then a month later you do a poll and there's only a 9% approval rating? You just elected them and now only 9% of you like them? That makes no sense. Well, it does make sense in the context of our rotting, grotesque system. Everybody is only doing favors for special interests and snubbing their constituents, so the constituents know, even though I'm voting here, it's always the lesser of two evils. That's what they know. We have to change the system, and it's hilarious that the establishment media, they're the last people who get this. They just don't get it. They think it's like just a normal conversation. You know, okay, who sold out better this month? Oh, well, Hillary sold out the best. Great, that's a good thing for her. No, it's a horrible thing. Selling out is terrible. But no, there they are. She raised $143 million. You know, it's weird. I don't know why people don't like her. I have a few ideas. Okay. Donald Trump was caught speeding again here. The Washington Post is reporting on his new hire for his campaign. They say David N. Bossie, the veteran conservative operative who has investigated the Clintons for more than two decades, has been named Donald Trump's deputy campaign manager. Bossie was president of Citizens United. Citizens United is best known as the orchestrator of the 2010 Supreme Court decision, Citizens United versus the FEC, a historic ruling that ended many restrictions on political spending for corporations and unions. Oh, this is precious. It is so, so precious. So Donald Trump, remember, guys, this was the cornerstone of his campaign at one point. Me? No, I'm self-funding. I'm against all this corruption. Are my opponents puppets to their donors? I don't know. I'm just asking. This is what he said. You know, he went out there. He's like, look, I know Jeb Bush's donors. The head of Johnson & Johnson is one of his top donors. You think he's not going to do favors for them? Of course he's going to do favors for them. You know what? Don, that's true. But then why did you, upon getting the nomination, flip like that? Now, he was already taking money during the primary process, but it got worse after he got the nomination. And you know who became his head financial bundler? The head of Johnson & Johnson. The same person he attacked Jeb Bush for being in bed with. He's like, great, when do we get in bed together? Let's do it right now. Because you know what? For Trump, hypocrisy isn't a thing. It doesn't register in his fucking thick head.
Hey, what do you mean? When I do it, it's okay because I'm Trump. Trump is tremendous. Trump is fantastic.
I mean, this is the guy. Seriously, stop and think about it. Stop and think about it. Another cornerstone of his campaign.
I need everybody to understand something. We're done sending jobs overseas. We're done. We're done. Outsourcing, done. TPP, no. NAFTA, bad. Sad. Sad. Outsourcing, bad.
Are you really stupid enough and naive enough to believe him? Are you that big of a sucker? That's a serious question. Idiot! He's railing against outsourcing. He's the only person on stage that has personally outsourced. He has ties and other products made in fucking Mexico and made in Turkey and made elsewhere. He's got deals in multiple different countries. So here's one way you can be against outsourcing. Stop outsourcing.
You know, we're going to make America great again and stop with all these trade deals.
You couldn't even stop with the trade deals for yourself. And it's not like you're default enrolled in them. And what was I going to do? This is just what it is. I have to send my jobs overseas. No, you chose to do that. You chose to do it. But again, hypocrisy isn't a thing. And the media is so shitty that they can't call him out in any serious way on this. So he's up there.
I'm against TPP. I'm against NAFTA. Outsourcing, bad, sad, terrible, wrong. Under Trump, no more.
Well, literally under you right now with your own businesses, it is happening. So what do you mean? So the media sucks on calling him out for it. He's a complete and utter hypocrite. You know, he's been raising money as he says he's not raising money from a private interest. He wants to sell out more than anybody. I told you the story, man. Mitt Romney's top financial bundler had meetings with Trump. The guy thinks Trump is a joke, but he's just, you know, doing the meetings because he doesn't want to burn any bridges. The guy says he's trying to get out of the meeting with Trump. This is according to him. And Trump's like,
can I count on you to raise money for me?
And the guy's like, oh, dude, no, no. Why don't you say you're the billionaire that's above the fray and you're against all the money in politics? You buying this?
Trump was like, brilliant idea. Brilliant idea. We're going to do that.
Then the guy gets out of the meeting like, finally, it's over, this fucking jackass. Trump does that strategy and wins on that strategy in the primary. It was not sincere. What, you think he actually effectively diagnosed the situation in politics before it fucking happened? You think he sat down like political scientists do? Like, okay, let me follow the money here. You have a subsidy going to ExxonMobil for $4 billion a year, and would you look at that? Congress people X, Y, and Z raise money from ExxonMobil. Wow! No, he didn't give a fuck. He's too busy chasing models who are undocumented immigrants. Please, please don't be stupid enough to think he's actually some sort of billionaire crusader for the little guy. You can't possibly be that stupid. Now, whatever fucking, you know, reservations you had left are done. He's hiring the person in the country who is most responsible for the legalized bribery. He did an entire court case saying, I would like more legalized bribery and corruption. His whole existence, when he passes away, that's what goes in the history books for David Bossie, the guy who made U.S. politics even more corrupt. His whole existence is fighting for that. Why the fuck would Trump hire him if he didn't agree with him? Why? He's hiring a person who is the king of money in politics because he wants more money. Obviously, obviously, obviously. You have to know this. Again, don't be stupid. Can you imagine? This is like Bernie Sanders saying, I'm so moral, I'm so moral, I'm so moral, I'm against the interventionism, I'm against the interventionism. And oh yeah, by the way, just to let you know, I hired as my foreign policy advisor Dick Cheney. How would everybody react to that? They'd be like, Bernie, what have you done? You hired a neoconservative prick. This guy never met a war he didn't like. He's a crazy person. He's a callous asshole. He's justified torture. He wants to invade everywhere. This is the guy you hired for foreign policy, and you're going to turn around and say that you're non-interventionist or you want to end the wars? What, are you crazy? That's how people would respond there. Here, since it's Trump, I haven't seen any substantive coverage over this yet in the mainstream media. I just saw articles online. Oh, come on, man. You got to do your job. You got to do your fucking job. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. What are you doing? What are you doing? He hired the king of money in politics because he pretends to be against money in politics. What a pathetic joke. What a pathetic joke. No, he's not a crusader for the people. No, he's not against the corruption. He will be the biggest insider and the most corrupt of anybody ever. I'm now convinced of that. I mean, Hillary Clinton literally has raised more money than anybody, and I'm under no illusions about her. She obviously is massively corrupt as well. Don't get it twisted. But that's why this election is the worst election in the history of the United States of America. It really is. Because your choices are just both beyond horrific, ridiculous, and they could not be bigger hypocrites, and they could not love this corrupt system any more than they do. Okay. Next. Somebody decided to do a poll and ask whether or not Donald Trump is a racist. And the numbers are just adorable. So Mediaite explains, overall, 44% of those in the Suffolk University USA Today poll say Trump is not a racist, while 47% say he is. 37% of white people think Trump is racist, compared to 61% of Hispanics and 83% of African Americans. When you break it down by candidate, you have 77% of Clinton supporters calling Trump a racist. Get this. While 7% of Trump's own supporters say the same. That is fucking hilarious. 7%. So nearly 10% of Trump supporters are like, yeah, he's racist. And of course I support him. Duh. Wow. Wow. So this is, you know, the white nationalists coming out of the woodworks who haven't been involved in politics before because they're like, finally we got a guy who stands up for the master race. So, yeah, I support him. Yeah, he's racist. That's indeed why I support him. My power. Oh, this is so sad. This is so, so sad. So, look, to get to the substance of the question, I don't even know how this is debatable anymore. For fuck's sake, the guy has repeatedly retweeted white supremacists, neo-Nazis. Now, he didn't do it like, a white supremacist happened to say, I love ham sandwiches. Trump's like, I do too. Retweet. No, he would retweet white supremacists who tweet out obviously bogus statistics on crime between the races. It was something insane. Like 83% of the time white people are killed by black people. Yeah. The name of the bureau they cited was like the San Francisco Bureau of Crime, something like that. It didn't even exist. Trump fact-checking? I mean, what do you think? He's running for president or something, and he's got to be careful about what he tweets out or what he says? That's, he's like, I don't give a fuck. I don't know. I like it. Black, bad, white, good. Retweet, retweet, retweet. And it's happened multiple times, man. Multiple times. You know what happens when you repeatedly retweet neo-Nazis on the issue of race? You kind of agree with them on the issue of race. Now, I'm not saying he's as bad as David Duke or he's fucking Hitler reincarnate. I'm not saying that. But I am saying, is there a question about his bigotry? No. If you think there's still a question about his bigotry, you're dense. You're dense. You're not paying attention. You don't look at the evidence. How the fuck? Okay, here's a guy who says repeatedly, I'm going to ban all undocumented immigrants from the country. I'm going to kick out all undocumented immigrants. All of them. 11 million kicking them out. Recently, he did a speech. The whole idea was, you got to soften on this and pivot, right? That's what's going to happen? Nope. Double down, triple down, quadruple down. I'm going to kick out all undocumented immigrants. 11 million undocumented immigrants. The overwhelming majority of which, not criminals, hard workers, just trying to have a better life. Some of them been here 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. He's like, I don't care. They're the wrong skin tone. And yet again, are you really naive enough to think he's talking about the undocumented immigrants who happen to be named Hans and Franz? That's what he's going to do. He can't wait to knock on the door. Sven, come on now, Sven. We have to deport you. No, you know what skin tone he's fucking talking about, okay? He said during the launch of his campaign, you know, the Mexicans, they're criminals, they're rapists. I assume some are good people. So he flipped it. He flipped it. Think about that. If he had said, well, yeah, most are good people, but some are criminals, of course, that's true with anybody. But no, he flips it. He goes, they're criminals, they're rapists, some are good people, implying the majority are criminals and rapists. And then again, he always doubles down on this shit whenever you bring it up to him. This is a guy who said, I'm going to kick out all Muslims. I'm going to ban, excuse me, all Muslims from coming into the country. That is a deeply bigoted position. And again, in his mind, in his silly little mind, is he thinking of Indonesian Muslims? Is he thinking of a white dude who happens to be a Muslim? No. You and I both know he's thinking about people that look like they're from the Middle East. So does it have to do with race, the skin tone? Yes, it does. Absolutely, it does. Absolutely. Of course, Islam is not a race. Duh. But in his mind, he's thinking, if you look like you're from the Middle East, that's who I'm talking about. That's who I'm talking about. So, and even putting aside the word racist, that's just bigotry, which effective is super similar, of course, effectively. So, okay, you want to be very literal and technical about it? You want to say he's not a racist? Fine, I'll grant you that, even though I shouldn't. He's a bigot. And where's the argument against that? 1.6 billion Muslims. None of you are allowed in anymore. Why? I don't know. Osama bin Laden exists. Al-Qaeda exists. ISIS exists. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi exists. I say that like Trump knows who the fuck that is. He doesn't know who that is. They all exist. They all exist. So what am I going to do? Sufi Muslims? Perfectly peaceful? Believe in, like, you know, mysticism and shit like that? Fuck off. Don't care about you. Ahmadi Muslims? Their whole point is peace? Piss off. The moderate Sunnis and Shias who are just trying to escape the wrath of ISIS? No. No. You have the same religion, so that's that. Well, you do know that Martin Luther King Jr., and had the same religion as the people in the KKK. So, y'all ban all Christians. The KKK exists. Ban all Christians. Ban them. Ban them. No, but that's the way a stupid person thinks. That's not to say there isn't a big strain of fundamentalism within Islam. Of course there is. And we need to combat that in every way, ideologically, in the real world, so on and so forth. But that doesn't mean you ban all of them. What about the liberal Muslims and the secular Muslims who are the victims of these fundamentalists?
I don't care. They're Muslim. That's it. But don't call me a bigot. Do not call me a bigot. I'm not a bigot. I'm not a racist. Tremendous. Make America great again.
No, you are those things. And anybody who doesn't see that is, again, you have to be so dense, it's unbelievable, because it's based on his policies and what he says and everything about him. The fact that you think this is an open question means your bar for racism is literally an Alabama sheriff in 1962 screaming nigger and sicking dogs on innocent black people. And even then you might say, you know what? Maybe not racist. Maybe not racist. Okay. Time magazine has an insane story out this week about a vicious crime. They say an Oklahoma woman, Juanita Gomez, 49 years old, was charged with first-degree murder on Monday. She claimed her 33-year-old daughter, Geneva Gomez, was possessed by the devil and allegedly punched her repeatedly to rid Satan from her body. Quote, Juanita stated she punched her daughter repeatedly and forced a crucifix and religious medallion down her throat until blood came out of her daughter's mouth, court documents stated, according to the Oklahoman. Juanita saw her daughter die and then placed placed the body in the shape of a cross. Authorities found Geneva Gomez lying on the floor with her arms extended and her legs straight. A large crucifix was also resting on her chest. Good googly moogly. Think about that. I mean, this is like straight out of a horror movie. So you have this woman who's like, I'm so convinced that my daughter's demon possessed, or she is the devil. The devil is now in her body. I will punch her repeatedly till she's unconscious, take a crucifix, shove it down her throat until she bleeds out, put her body in the shape of a cross, and put a cross over her chest. Oh, goodness, what are we going to do, man? All right, now look, every time we speak about these different things, there's multiple different options, okay? It's possible you're dealing with just a run-of-the-mill crazy person who's just crazy and hearing voices and is paranoid schizophrenic, and she happens to be a violent paranoid schizophrenic, and this is the result. It's also possible she's just a deep, deep, deep religious believer and a fundamentalist, and she happened to actually believe this for whatever reason, that her daughter's possessed by the devil, and so she acted on it. Okay, but this is why it's so important to argue against fundamentalist religion. Because it's hard for people to understand it, but it's true. There are people out there who really believe it. Like, there are people out there who actually read the Bible or the Quran, and they go, no, that's right, every word of this, every word of this. So if you happen to believe every word of this, and you stumble across an insane verse, like, for example, in the Bible where, you know, Abraham and Isaac, where they, okay, I'm going to now sacrifice my son to appease God. Well, that's the moral thing to do in the Bible. I got to sacrifice my son. Hello? God wants me to do it. Okay, she's like, the devil's inside my daughter. For my daughter's sake, I have to do it. I will save my daughter by killing her. That's the reasoning. Well, there are people who take that paradigm and go, this is the paradigm that is correct about the world. And oftentimes it stems from when they're young, you know, repeatedly having this hammered into their head. This book is true, this book is true, this book is true. Anybody who says this book isn't true is the enemy, is demon-possessed, is the devil, is this, is that. And if you actually drink the Kool-Aid there, you're in a large cult. That's what it is. Fundamentalist religion is just a large cult. Now, I'm not saying moderate Christians, moderate Muslims, you know, moderate Buddhists, Hindus, so on and so forth. I'm not saying they're in a cult, because oftentimes people view their religion almost like a nationality. Like, it just is what it is. Like, okay, my Christianity was passed down to me from my parents, so I'm just a Christian and it is what it is. Do I believe? I don't know. I guess I vaguely believe in God, but I never even read the book. I don't care about the doctrines, yada, yada. But the fundamentalists, the literalists, are they basically just in a big cult? Yeah. And what happens when you're in a big cult? Bad things. You know, fucking Jim Jones and drink the Kool-Aid, where the term drink the Kool-Aid comes from, like I just used before. It's because he was like, well, we got it. Hello. I mean, do you want to save your kids? Do you want to get salvation? I mean, we're under attack from everybody outside of us. We got to drink the Kool-Aid and all die together. It is what it is. And how many of those people ended up drinking the Kool-Aid and dying? Because it was a large cult. Well, that's exactly what's happening here. When you fucking stab your daughter with a crucifix in her throat until she chokes on her own blood, I tend to think maybe your ideas are fucked up. Call me crazy. So this is why spreading liberalism and spreading secularism is so important, and convincing people in the realm of ideas and just letting people know, look, you hold some things like there are taboo things to talk about. Don't talk about that. Don't talk about religion. Don't talk about politics. Those should be talked about more than anything else, because how are you going to foster a society that has, you know, wholesome, empathetic beliefs about individual rights and human rights, so on and so forth, unless you – those are the ideas at the forefront of the community. When you have people who are literalists and fundamentalists and, you know, they snap, sometimes this is the result. So it's a horrific situation, and needless to say, I hope she spends a long time in jail. Whew, okay. All right, on the same topic here, we continue. 10 minutes left, so I got to try to squeeze in as much as possible. The Independent has a story that's so utterly ridiculous that it sounds more like The Onion. They say, ISIS has reportedly outlawed football referees in one of its Syrian strongholds because they implement FIFA rules in violation of the commands of Allah. Not kidding about that. And that's a quote. ISIS said it is, quote, in violation of the commands of Allah to have soccer referees. So, like, we got to get rid of them. It was a court that decided this. This is what their courts are spending time on. The UK-based Syrian Observatory of Human Rights said commanders had also drawn up a list of rules detailing how injured players can be compensated by their opponents under Sharia law. Referees would be banned because their decisions, quote, do not judge according to what Allah has revealed and are a violation of Allah's command and the Sunnah. A system of qisas for injured footballers was also brought in, referring to the retributive justice system enacted under Sharia law, where victims can claim compensation or exact revenge. And they go on to explain here. And by the way, they keep calling it football because it's the Independent British publication. They say, smoking, satellite dishes, dancing, watching foreign television, and private internet access have all incurred the wrath of the so-called Islamic State. Okay, that's the saddest fucking thing I've ever heard. Man, you want to talk about people who really believe their bullshit? They don't even allow soccer without going, does Allah approve of how we're doing this? Seriously, we got to sit down and talk about this, guys. I don't want to go to hell because I called a red card when I should have called a yellow card. Oh, my God. You're brainwashed little children. I need you to get over your false beliefs. Guys, this is mythology. Just the fact that I say this, by the way, they go, he's the devil. He's possessed. How dare he say that? No. Put all that aside. Hear me man to man. Take away your voodoo for a second. What you believe is not accurate. What you believe is not true. You're living a lie. That's the saddest thing about fundamentalism. I mean, obviously all the violence that comes along with it is pretty sad also. But the fact of the matter is you're living a lie. And as they live a lie, they're so convinced that they're living the one ultimate truth. No, we have the one answer. We have the one answer. No, you don't. You're living a preposterous lie. You know, somebody opens the Bhagavad Gita and lives by every word of it, you're living a lie. That is functionally no different, or I should say theoretically no different, from opening Harry Potter or Lord of the Rings or fucking The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe and going, I'm going to live by this. This is all true. This is all true. At 6 o'clock every night, you got to open your wardrobe and try to step through the other realm. It's in my book. It must be true. But your book is not accurate. Your book was written by a bunch of idiots in the desert before they knew anything about science, before they knew anything about actual answers facing humanity. You know, back in the day when somebody got sick, you put fucking leeches on them and go, this will save them. It'll take out all the impure blood. Yeah. Oh, no, you morons, you're making it up. You're making shit up. That's just a theory. There's no evidence that works. Well, now we know many more things that are true. What we know is not true is that your goofy-ass God didn't fly to heaven on a winged donkey. It just didn't happen. It didn't fucking happen. It didn't happen. So we got to get over the mythical beliefs, man. I mean, it's so easy to debunk these holy books. Look, the question of God, just a creator, is a separate question. Is there a being that created us? Okay, that's a deistic question and a more reasonable question. I have my answers to that, but I admit to being an agnostic atheist. I don't really know, but I don't believe. Theism is not hard. It's not difficult. It's just not. So, for example, if theism is true, the book for whatever different religion would be true. The one true religion. So we got to evaluate each book based on its own merits. Well, for example, in Islam, they say semen comes from your backbone. Okay, false. Next question. Next religion. Let's move along here. Because that's not true. We know that's not true. You just undermined your entire fucking, you know, religion with just that. And that's just one example. I mean, the list goes on and on. Muhammad splitting the moon in two, talking feet, talking hands. Preposterous. You want to talk about the Bible? We could talk about the Bible also. They allude to four corners of the earth. There are no corners of the earth. What are you talking about? Because these were morons who thought the earth was flat. They thought the earth was flat. They thought the earth was flat. They thought the fucking earth was flat. So, okay, next. False. Next religion. So, you can debunk theism like that. again, I'm not besmirching all Muslims or all Christians. Most of them are good people, and they're not literalists. But the literalists are so stupid that they get to a point where they say, we can't play soccer until we know what the almighty space fairy thinks about the rules we've implemented. You're an embarrassment to the rest of the world. Okay, next. So here we go again. Israel is expanding illegal settlements. RT reports Israel's High Planning Committee on Wednesday went on to approve the development of 234 housing units for the elderly in Elkanah Jewish settlement south of Nablus City. In addition, Israel also approved the erection of 21 units in East Jerusalem and 31 housing units in the central West Bank. Furthermore, the committee retroactively approved 179 housing units in Beit Ari, which have already been built without permits. The Jewish settlements, which have been expanding following the Six-Day War of 1967, are illegal under international law. The diplomat noted that since July, Israel has approved plans for over 1,000 housing units in East Jerusalem, as well as 735 units and other settlements in the West Bank. Wow, think about that. Since July, 1,735 new approved illegal settlements under international law. Now, this is so ridiculous and so over the top and such an aggressive move and such an insane land grab that even the U.S. is like, whoa, pump your brakes, Netanyahu. So the State Department said this: we are particularly troubled by the policy of retroactively approving unauthorized settlement units and outposts that are themselves illegal under Israeli law. These policies have effectively given the Israeli government a green light for the pervasive advancement of settlement activity in a new and potentially unlimited way. Significant expansion of the settlements is a serious and growing threat to the viability of a two-state solution. You think? So here's the deal, man. I've said this a million times. I'll say it a million more. If the U.S. really wanted to be serious, instead of doing the, oh, I totally disapprove. Is anybody buying this? How angry I am at Israel? So bad, 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 bad. We are angry. Instead of doing that and doing kabuki theater, which is what that is, you go, oh, that's cute. So here's what's going to happen now. We got rid of our veto at the U.N. Now we're pro a Palestinian state. How you like that? Oh, that's cute. So you want to expand settlements? How about we take this over $3 billion a year that we give you in aid and say, gone. How about that? How's that? You like that? How about we voice support for BDS? How about we actually slap some sanctions on you? How about we force you economically to the table to do a two-state deal? You know, the U.S. has the ability to do all this stuff. If they mustered up the will, they could do this stuff, but they're not going to do this stuff. And I'll tell you why. Well, I mean, Israel's our top ally anyway, so we'd probably let them get away with it no matter what. But the Iran deal, Obama feels bad. Oh, we did the Iran deal, which, by the way, makes Israel much, much safer because it cuts off their path to a nuke and has the IAEA in there all the time monitoring them. So Netanyahu should be thanking Obama for the Iran deal and said, no, he hates it. He hates it. So what does Obama do? He goes to Israel. He says, I'll give you more money. Please, just don't speak out against the deal. So here's more money. Here's more aid. And we'll shut the fuck up. And, oh, look, you're expanding settlements. I guess I'll do finger waving, but is there really tacit approval here? Of course. If you're not going to actually act against it with sanctions or, you know, through the UN or what have you, well, then you're just sitting by as they do what they do. And that's really what's happening. So because they got the Iran deal, he's like, well, I don't want to criticize you because I know you don't like the Iran deal. So, okay, I guess it's open season on doing more occupation and building more settlements. And this is all illegal under international law. And the final point is, you know it's going to happen. It's going to fucking happen sooner or later. There are going to be more attacks against these people who are stealing more land and building more settlements. And then Israel is going to go, and Likud specifically, and Netanyahu go, oh my God, who could have saw this coming? This is so crazy. I can't believe they did this. Fucking savage, barbarian Palestinians. Look at them. They fucking attack us. Why would they attack us? Why would they do anything wrong? We didn't do anything. I don't understand. Except that you just built 1,735 new settlements, and you're taking more and more of their land. So, and then what will happen in response to that? Palestinians will attack. Then you'll have Netanyahu do another bombing orgy, probably killing majority civilians, like the last bombing orgy in Gaza specifically, where it was 80% civilians. And then round and round we go in this cycle of violence. You have to nip it in the bud by doing a two-state deal and respecting the sovereignty of Palestine. There should be an official state of Palestine. But no. As they say, we are the country that represents liberal values here in the Middle East. Democracy, we're a democracy. Liberal values, liberal values, liberal values. Now, as I scream liberal values in your face, I'm going to act illiberally and do more occupation and more illegal settlements. But you can't question it because I just said I'm the most liberal. So if you're against it, well, then I guess you're against the only, you know, liberal country in the Middle East, only democracy in the Middle East. And that's why you're with the bad guys. It's a trick. It's a trick. So you scream liberal values. You're liberal in other ways, women's rights, gay rights, which is good. But then you say, that let that override the fact and deflect criticism from the apartheid state I'm doing and occupation and the illegal settlements. No. The trick is stupid. We see what you're doing, and we're outraged by it, and you have to stop now. Not just for the sake of the Palestinians, but also for your sake. This is obviously going to breed more conflict. You're making the people of Israel less safe, Benjamin Netanyahu. Less safe. I'm out of time, guys. I love you. We'll see you next week. Mwah. Peace.